Hey, this is Elroy from Mamzelle's Teas and Tots, and you're listening to BeatboxRadio.com.
BeatBox Radio.
Hi, I'm Maxine Margot Rubin, and this is the Many Shades of Green, our program about environmental sustainability and social issues which reflect the greening in our communities in Brooklyn and beyond. The Many Shades of Green delves into topics that affect the environment both locally and globally as we move to raise social awareness via science and culture, music and politics, as well as the arts. There are many variations or shades of environmental consciousness which affect what actions we take to protect the planet. Everyone has a shade of green that connects them to the natural earth. Our guest this week on the Many Shades of Green is Scott Seidel, chairperson of Global Green, an organization that advocates for smart solutions to global warming in order to improve health, education, and promote green jobs, and also to promote waste diversion, which we will talk about. Scott is also the president of Seidel Companies, and we are just so happy to have him here. So welcome, Scott.
Thank you.
Welcome to Brooklyn and Dumbo and all things green.
I'm flattered to have been asked.
So glad that you were able to get here. So, on a personal level, what was your epiphany that came into your brain that said, we need to do things more sustainable, more for the environment? Was there any one moment, one thing that just put your mind into that, this is what I need to be doing to help the planet?
We'd probably have to go back a really long time there, Maxine.
Good. Let's go back a long time. We've got a little time. No, go back. What was something that piqued you?
For the benefit of your listeners, since they can't see me, I'm 73. That would back us up to somewhere in the mid-50s where we had some problems in our city of Atlanta where pollution was floating down our rivers. And a few of us took it on as a science project for high school and found the companies that had the open pipelines or the shopping centers that were dropping cigarette butts and things like that into the waste stream, and we stopped it.
Wow.
So
what did you do? What was the process to get that stopped?
We started off by stopping up the pipes, and then the police explained to us that we probably needed to go through the courts instead. So we...
Stopping up the pipes, that's like a great form of civil disobedience at its best, actually.
Well, sure, bring them out, you know, and I think that's
absolutely, that's amazing. So you were young, you were teenagers.
That was a rusty beginning, yeah.
So then did you go to the court? I mean, what happened?
Well, we didn't. We actually engaged some other people that saw what was going on and saw that there were clear violations of the law in dumping, because the water supply comes from that river, and just like
which river was that? Which
that was the Chattahoochee down in Atlanta. Now we have down there the Riverkeeper organization looking after and doing that job, and you can look them up under www.riverkeeper.org.
We've had them on; they are a friend of the show.
Yeah,
and they're doing something actually coming up soon as well.
That's
Riverkeeper
good.
Sweep, they're calling it, and we're gonna have someone come on to talk about that in about a week.
I'll be listening.
Yeah, we're gonna get people to volunteer and get out there. So that is an amazing story right off the get-go, which leads me to believe that you've had this passion for quite a while.
Well, that was a good way to start, but later on in life, as I became a chemist and began to get a little bit more sensitive to waste streams, I began to see that there really isn't anything that we have in our solid waste stream that can't be recycled. So I decided to dedicate my time to seeing if we couldn't do something about that. And New York, as you may know, has 20 million pounds of garbage going out of here every single day, and that's not recycled. This is the unrecycled, unreclaimed part, and it goes to places as distant as landfills in South Carolina. So being the highest volume of municipal waste for the land space and per capita, highest wasted food per capita, it was a good place to come and set up shop.
Wow. So what have you set up here so far? I mean, that we can
Well, we have an office in Manhattan, but we've been here now for 5 years.
Is this on the Global Green or something else?
This is Global Green.
Okay, so Global Green. All right, let's just get back, a little backstory on them. Mm-hmm. How did Global Green come into being? I mean, I read back that
this
it was...
This is going to be a history book, you know.
Well, I know, we can make a brief history, but I know it has something to do with Mikhail Gorbachev.
It was. As a matter of fact, I think, I'm not sure whether it was the atomic explosion in his electric plant over there or whether it was his recognition of how dangerous the weapons that are being left behind after the Cold War would be. But he came in and started what's called Green Cross International. Here in the United States and in some places, particularly countries in the Middle East, the organization is called Global Green.
Uh-huh. And is it like the Red Cross but for green things?
That's exactly what we do. We're sort of firemen in that respect.
Okay. So Green Cross was to do what? I mean, what were they initially looking at?
Well, Green Cross, which is President Gorbachev is still in Moscow, but we're headquartered in Geneva just for the convenience of, we have outposts in some 35 countries, so everybody has to kind of get in and out, and that's a lot easier, mm-hmm. I think, than being in Russia. And I'm chair of the organization here, but there are these other people just like me around the world that are doing the same sort of thing. We tend to respond to emergencies. You may have heard when we started building affordable homes down in New Orleans with Brad Pitt, who was a director. And
not a bad director.
Brad, yeah, he's good. Leo's a little more helpful.
Yeah, he's, I know. I know he's attached to the. You have offices in
Santa Monica,
and
he does.
California.
Leo has been very sensitive to our water campaigns, mm-hmm. because President Gorbachev and the rest of us are a little worried about what happens if we should run out of water.
And that's coming down the pike that people don't quite get, and we're using a lot of water when we go fracking as well. So.
Yeah.
Where are they getting all that from? So was it the water issue? Was it wartime pollution from the chemicals from that and from bullets that are in the ground? I mean, how did...
there's a lot of danger with unexploded ordnance, but mm-hmm. most of what we were concentrating on were chemical weapons.
Okay.
These are weapons that with... an amount about the size as you have in your teacup over there, you could wipe out a city. And you know how boys and toys are? These things are all locked into weapons that, if discharged, would do away with communities. So we started our chemical venture working on decommissioning of those weapons. We were in Siberia, Utah, Alabama, places where they're stored. And that office is still in Washington and is still working on decommissioning. We still have a long ways to go with those weapons.
We have those chemicals being stored in those states here. And
yes. Yes, we do. And here in the U.S., we're a little more clever than they were overseas. We make it harder to get the chemicals out and do away with them. But it's happening, and I think we'll see that stand down be less of a threat over time. So.
Wow, that's amazing.
You have now New Orleans, and you have Washington and Santa Monica. Then we're in Youngstown, Ohio, where we're trying to work with abandoned lands to turn them into urban farms. And here in New York, we had an opportunity to see if we could pure stream materials out of the waste hopper. So,
explain what that is.
Well, when you go in a Starbucks now, you'll see they have a separate container to put your cup versus other trash. When you go into Pret-a-Manger in New York, mm-hmm. you'll see we have 4 divided bins there where you can put in paper, plastic, glass, and metals or food waste. And we collect those separately so that instead of taking the paper, for example, to a place where it has to be separated from everything, we take it directly to the Pratt Industries mill in Staten Island. In 48 hours, it's back in Manhattan as a pizza box. So basically, pure streaming is for us using existing infrastructure, existing industries, and asking the consumer to do what we end up paying $70 to a lot of people on a conveyor belt to do, instead of having to go through that $70 a ton process.
So it's one less step because you're getting the consumer to just put it into the receptacle. And then the receptacle gets picked up,
yeah.
and then it gets brought to Staten Island, Or, I mean, is that how simple that is?
That's
or
where
is
the
there...
paper goes. That's right. And in fact, now we're working on getting rid of all the shredding that goes on by putting mailbox-looking containers in office buildings where people can deposit confidential documents, and we take them directly to the pulper. So they don't have to be shredded. They're a fiber within 10 seconds, you know, after they hit that bath. So,
wow, that's amazing.
What we're trying to do is to get all the fiber in one stream and get it out to places where it can be used. And Pratt's not the only one. There are other industries in the area that are working with us.
Now, the what about the styrofoam situation? Mayor Bloomberg was trying to get that, you know, we're going to ban styrofoam. Do you think that's a good idea? You think it's going to happen? Do you think businesses are on board with that? Because that doesn't even, what do you do with that? How do you even get that into
waste
diversion?
Well, first of all, can we change the law again so that Mayor Bloomberg can run?
Yeah, I know. I'm afraid. I mean, there's a forum, you know, coming up soon with all the mayor's potential, you know, candidates.
Right.
And Pete Seeger's going to be there, too. And I just found out about this. Very interesting. But yeah,
We need to make sure that whoever comes in has the same heart that he does, because I think that's going to be essential,
right,
for New York's greatness, if nothing else. You know,
where
we could always go into the mayor's office and say, guess what Gavin's doing in San Francisco? And the answer would always be, can we beat him there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the attitude here has just been fantastic.
Yeah, well, we're trying in our own little way to green things up in an urban, you know, setting, and we're so populous. There's so many people to get the word out to. You know, even this our little Many Shades of Green is one way we're trying to do our part, and of course, big things like global green are what people need to hear about.
Thank you
for
that.
And to participate in, to get involved with, and you'll give us all the information, you know, about how people can get involved with GLOR. I would assume there's volunteer opportunities that people can do, and so we will touch on that in the second half. We're here in the studio with Scott Seidel from Global Green, and we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Megan Offner from New York Heartwoods, where we make local sustainable lumber from downed and dying trees. And you are listening to The Many Shades of Green on BeeBoxRadio.com.
We're back with Scott Seidel. That's The Many Shades of Green, and we're talking about global green and all things green and how we can all get together and understand what waste diversion is and what we can do to take part in various programs and various stores and businesses like Starbucks and Pret a Manger, and they're doing good work. So here we are. I was just trying to figure out, there's a term called green urbanism, and I know global green is definitely part of that. Can you give me an example of a green urban project right now? I know you do stuff, something out in Far Rockaway. Can you give us a little background on that?
Well, I'm not sure what we can categorize that as exactly green urbanism. We might call it thumb your nose at the FEMA people when they fly over your head, I think. Basically, what we're doing out there is installing solar panels so that if we should have another emergency out there, people will have a place where they can stay warm, have electricity, charge their cell phones. And so we're putting these protective solar panels and battery backup in places where electricity will be needed if
it's
we
like
have
a portable
crisis.
Backup unit or mm-hmm. something, like a generator or?
No, these are just, they're solar panels that sit on top of the roof, and they charge up these batteries that can last for a very long time. So basically that allows businesses and homes and everybody to continue to operate.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yes.
So how is that, I mean, in terms of building out there, I would imagine that there are places they're not even going to touch again, and then there are places a little further in that really need help. Is that mostly where you guys are going, or are you guys going up to the front, so to speak? It's almost like a war zone from what I haven't been there, but I'm told. I mean, what is it looking like
out
there?
Well, I'll have to take you out there. You'd enjoy the tour. We basically work around affordable homes because, mm-hmm. you know, we figure there's some people in the society that can kind of look after themselves. And I know some people did suffer terribly out there in the middle class. But basically, we're down where you'll find the affordable homes and where people can end up being old and on a fifth floor and there's no light in the stairway and we need some type of services out there. So it's sort of the, it's, you know, you can't do enough preventative right now until we stop greenhouse gas growth. So we have to prepare for what we know will happen next. You know, the Union of Concerned Scientists has put out a fairly succinct forecast of what we might expect, and we just had a good taste of it a little earlier than you might have expected just because of the confluence of events.
Yeah, that the perfect storm in a bad way. Yeah, I didn't have power for 2 weeks up in Westchester.
Oh, you didn't? How about that?
No, I had to leave my house, so it was
pretty... Well, you have to come stay with us next time.
Next time I'm going to knock on your door, but, you know, it's like, it was pretty crazy. I mean, obviously there were so many people affected in a horrible way. They lost their homes. They
lost
absolutely. Everything. I mean, I was out of my house for 2 weeks, so I you know... Don't want to complain, but it was kind of crazy.
We're still recovering. And, of course, we were talking earlier about waste diversion. Waste diversion in the United States by itself is the largest stoppage of greenhouse gases we have. And you have to stop and think about it. When you recycle an aluminum can into another aluminum can, 86% of the energy has already been consumed. And with a paper cup into a paper cup, it's over 60%. You don't have to go out and cut the tree and pulp it up and all that stuff. So what we're trying to do is to influence people to make these products with that in mind. So we know it's going to ultimately be recycled because the value is going up.
Is industry on board with this? I mean, for the most part, or are they just saying, well, we want to make more stuff because we're going to make more money selling all those cups, and so why should we even do this? Is there anything?
Yeah, we want industry to make more things. That supports the economy and jobs. We just want to make sure that everything we make can be used over and over again until it becomes a nutrient for nature. It's just the natural thing to do, and people used to look at this as a way out woo-woo type science, but now we can show people how even with existing infrastructure that's possible. So yes, we do have major corporations as members of this organization. In fact, that's how we're financed.
Right.
So they are fee-paying members, and they form what we call a value chain coalition. And that's where the guy that cuts the tree, the guy that makes the paper, the fellow that makes the cup, somebody like Starbucks, the fellow that picks them up, and the guy that's going to recycle them, those guys and girls are all at the table. And we sort out things like higher costs here, savings there, to the extent that it works for everybody. And that's how we're able to engage these folks in our coalition.
How do you get more people? I mean, Starbucks is a great example. Pret a Manger is a great example. Those are two companies.
Yeah.
There's a lot of companies.
We're going to hot link this broadcast to Five Guys.
Yeah.
Did you hear that, guys?
Right.
And,
yes, we have a fan of Five Guys here, okay.
Everybody in town. Well, it's always good to have an audience that's on your side. But, yeah, I think basically we're hoping to go to 150 stores in New York this summer. And the encouraging thing is in the stores where we are now, the stream purity is over 90%. You know, there's the guy that will occasionally put an umbrella in there just because he got wet and he's hangry. But we really get a pure stream. And so industries like Pratt are tickled to death because they get a good feedstock coming into their plant.
We could create more industries like Pratt. I mean, it could, you know, we have to think in our mind to become more in tune with the future and alternative energies and other industries that are going to create green jobs, which I know Global Green wants to do.
Yes.
So at this point, what is their job creation? I mean, what are they looking at in terms of green jobs, Global Green?
Yeah, all of the jobs that will be created are obviously bigger jobs, better jobs. I mean, rather than standing on a conveyor sorting out plastics and paper all day, we have jobs that are much, much different because they involve the recycling process. And so every time we've made a move, we end up making more jobs. You know, we just, one thing we did that really is kind of might interest you is, you know, when the water bottles were added to the deposit law here in New York. See, I know all these gleaners. They're all personal friends. And so they all have their favorite zones and street baskets and things like that. And they applauded us because this reduced their travel time significantly. They didn't have to leave half the bottles in the waste can. That's a little bit of a departure from jobs.
It's
basically
true.
The recycle industry. I had breakfast this morning with somebody from Keep America Beautiful, who's doing all of their now development work as they move more and more into recycling. And the conversation went to building a plastics recycle industry in this area. And believe me, those are really high paid, really good jobs, and we have people that can be trained to do them. We started working on carpet recycling. You won't believe this, but New York has 400 million pounds of carpet removed every year.
Whoa.
And we've been working with
people
that...
That's a lot of carpet.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
What do you do with carpet? Because that just...
Most
kind
of it's
lays
been
there.
Going in the landfill.
But, right, that's what I'm saying.
But now we've helped build an industry that is just across in New Jersey, and they shave off the fiber off the top, then they rip the scrim out of the back of it to use for making a carpet underlay, and then they're planning on taking the residual calcium carbonate, which is kind of clay, and putting it in the barges that pass by here from Lafarge and Holcim in the concrete business, because that calcium carbonate turns into cementitious limestone and becomes part of the product under heat. So yes, we have a solution for everything. It's just that we have to get people on board with helping us with the infrastructure.
That's the whole bottom line. The infrastructure really has to be looked at, and it's not, it should be more of a priority. I don't get half of what happens these days. I don't even know what to say anymore about certain things.
Well, but we're glad you're here because you are encouraging people.
You know, we're trying to get people to do be aware of what's going on around them, to participate in greening, you know, the country and the world, and plastic bottles, things that can be recycled. I mean, when you look at, you know, the gyre, that giant plastic hole. I don't know what to call it in the Pacific.
How about disgrace? That would
be. I mean, you wonder, like, what, you know, how do we live with ourselves knowing that we're, you know, killing the species that are under. I mean, how do you do that, and how do we stop it? And the way to stop it is by putting it in the right waste stream.
Exactly.
So that's something that you guys are doing. Do you work with anything on the gyre at all? I mean, are you guys...
We have a...
I'm just curious because I didn't see it anywhere, but I just figured I'd ask.
Well, I'm on a board of the Savannah Ocean Exchange, which is taking a look at that process, and it works out. They're working with methods of collecting those plastics and converting them to fuel. The vessel that they would do it on would be powered by the fuel so that it could operate almost by itself. Probably.
Like pick it up? Like they pick up?
It would actually attract it. You know, it would attract it into the belly of the machine, and the machine would convert to fusel oil, and then they would burn that to keep the ship running. And the last iteration I saw of the design had enough microelectronics on it that it didn't have to be manned. It would just float around in there and do its thing. So,
you like in a swimming pool, you have the thing on top that
cleans
that.
That's such a good example.
The pool, and now you can have something similar that would clean the gyre. That would be a miracle.
You've given me a way to describe that to people. Thank you.
Oh, no problem. Once in a while, I'll come up with something, but every time I think about and see in a piece something about the gyre, I go, how come no one is paying
attention?
Well,
there are a lot of organizations working on these things, and I think you'll begin to see more of them as the public gets more attuned to the nature of the problem and the expansion of the problem. And
It's there's so much out there, but there's so much good going on that people don't realize that. I mean, recently we've been only hearing about, you know, really horrible things, and But to counter that, there's a lot of good things, and so we're trying to bring out what's going on, who's, you know, doing that. But it's just amazing.
Well, you're part of that good. Thank you, folks.
We try to do something, so this is our little give back, so to speak. So if you can have one wish that could better, like, the planet in terms of greening it, what would that be at this point before we have to wrap up?
Oh, my goodness, that's a really detailed question. I think we need to turn the corporate boards over to women. And that we
like
need
Norway.
That's right.
You know that. Norway
absolutely
has an actual rule about that.
Then we need to stop all violence against women so that they can lift their heads. And I think we should ban men from running for public office for the next 100 years.
Wait, I have to give you a giant hug after this show. Without a doubt. I mean, yes.
That doesn't sound like it has much to do with the environment, but I think mothers have a more keen sense of Mother Earth, and so I think we need to see some of that control in the chairs in corporations that make decisions.
I definitely agree. There is something to that. Mothers, and it's not nice to fool Mother Nature, and it's not nice to fool mothers, so females on the board would be a great thing. So thank you for throwing that out there. I appreciate that. So where can people get more information about Global Green and what you guys are doing?
Well, in New York, you can look under www.thecorr.org. That's the name of the project here. It's www.thecorr.org. And Global Green is easier. It's www.globalgreen.org.
Wow.
And you can see pretty much what we're doing around the world, because that links to Green Cross.
Green Cross is right. The actually was before Global. You got that simultaneous, or
I just who wouldn't follow President Gorbachev around? He saved our lives.
Well, let's hear it for Mikhail. All right. So I thank you so much for coming, Dan, and we have to have you back to continue a discussion and on
great
other topics as well, because you guys are doing wonderful things at Global Green, and I appreciate. Appreciate all the work you're doing.
You can count on me to come to Dumbo anytime.
Anytime.
To sit with you.
We like Dumbo. It's where the Uber hipsters are. No,
there
I'm
you
kidding.
Are.
But anyway, so thank you so much.
Thank you, my dear.
Great. So we've been talking with Scott Seidel, chairperson of Global Green, an affiliate of Green Cross International, which uses innovative research to advance community-based projects and targeted advocacy to promote education and environmental initiatives to build awareness of global warming. Global Green works on solutions that can be put into place to foster a shift towards a more sustainable future. And Scott is a true global environmental ambassador, so thank you. So thanks for joining us for the Many Shades of Green, our program about environmental sustainability, culture, the arts, and community. Listen to the show on your laptop, tablet, desktop, or smartphone. Follow us on Facebook. You can send us a tweet at TM Shades of Green, and you can also listen to our podcast on iTunes. And I'm Maxine Margot Rubin, and I'd like you to all be gentle with the earth. And thank you for joining us, and we'll see you again next time.
Take out the papers and the trash. Or you don't get no spending cash. If you don't scrub that kitchen floor, you ain't gonna rock and roll no more. Yaggity yak!
Don't go back.
Just finish cleaning up your room. Let's see that dust fly with that broom. Get all that garbage out of sight. Or you don't go out Friday night.
Don't talk back.
You just put on your coat and hat and walk yourself to the laundromat. And when you finish doing that, bring in the dog and put out the cat. Yaggity yak!
Don't talk back.
Don't you give me no dirty looks. Your father.
yakety yak.
Don't talk back.
Yakety yak, yakety yak.
You're listening to BeboxRadio.com.